Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city at last.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. It's a catchy tune. Hallelujah. Nice to see you, Brother Vincent. I see Brother Vincent. I've been missing him over the past few weeks. He also has a radio program on Blog Talk Radio, Black by Color Only. And, going to a city is a tune that I wrote and had a wonderful producer, guitar player, Rod Demers, that played the guitar on the song. So it's a blessing. And I have a very special guest today. I always love having Brenda on because she really does her research. For many, many years, I was like that. I was always researching and reading and trying to find out things. So hopefully I'll get back to that, too, because there's always so much to learn. And I don't know the things she knows. She knows things that I don't know. So I always enjoy having her on as a guest, and I'm going to bring her on shortly. Also, the chat room is open, so please, we love to hear your comments. Also, it is a live call-in program today, so if you'd like to ask a question of Brenda or myself, or you have a comment, please call in to 914-338-1638, and we appreciate your comments. There's been so many things in the news this week, and I even hate to mention it because it's so awful. But have you noticed this week that there's been a rise in stories about cannibalism in this country? It is very, very weird. But I don't. This is a fact that I'm not sure that most people even know about, and it is to me. It is one of the reasons why we are having this rise of cannibalism, and I expect that we will be seeing more and more of this. In the vaccinations that are given to most children and even some adults, they use a fetal cell line from aborted babies. And it is a dirty little secret, and I'm one of those people that I'm on a mission to get the news out, because you can't get the mainstream media to report this news. I've tried. I guess I still should try, as well as anybody else that's interested in getting this information out. But it's no wonder that people are becoming cannibals. They're injecting people with dead human beings that have been murdered. So, yeah, it's enough to drive you crazy and turn you into a cannibal. But, you know, something is crazy world that we live in. And they call this medicine. So it is very, very weird. Anyway, you should always ask before anybody, a doctor or anybody, is coming at you with a hypodermic needle. You should ask what's in that thing, and ask what is in that thing that they're giving your child. You have a right to know. You have a right to know about side effects. You have to have a right to know about ingredients. And I had to learn some of this the hard way myself. So, but now I'm very careful. I try to be very careful about what I put into my body, because the Bible does say we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. And we are. And our bodies can withstand so much, don't they? So much abuse. But there is a devil out there, and the devil does not like God's people, obviously. So we need to be smarter than the devil. Amen. But there's been so many. Also, there was a news story this morning about that they expect there to be a rise in hurricanes. And I do believe that, because it was an extremely warm winter, very warm. And one of the ways that these hurricanes get kicked up is when the water is warm, the ocean water, and they can gain more steam. And so far, the hurricane season just started, and we've already had a few tropical storms. Not in our area. I do live in Florida, but there's already been some activity. So we just really need to be in much prayer, because I don't like hurricane season at all. It is real. Hurricanes are real. And I don't even like to think about it, but we do have to trust God in all things. Amen. Now I'm going to bring my guest on, my guest Brenda Johnson. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Great to hear
you.
Yeah,
I know hurricane season. I used to live there on the East Coast, so.
Yeah, you went through one.
I went through two. We went through the 2004 hurricanes. We were actually the small town of Sebastian, which was on the north eye wall of both Francis and Jean.
Ooh.
So, yes, and so we didn't get the eye, but we got the continuous wind of the eye wall, which nobody really talks about. That's probably
no,
worse
they don't
than
talk
the eye.
About sustained winds. I was a witness to that myself here. Of course, I live on the west coast of Florida, but we didn't get that much activity like they did over there on the, you know, where you were up further or down further.
Right.
No, actually, you were down, weren't you? Down from Tampa.
We are in between Melbourne and Vero Beach. And,
oh, okay, yeah. So you were
on the
east coast.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. We were in a small town called Sebastian, and they actually had footage. Some, you know how they take the camera person and stick them on the beach and say, oh, the hurricane's coming in and the wind's blowing really, really hard.
Yeah.
Well, they were newscasting from Sebastian, because that's where the eye wall was, and they wouldn't say our name because we were too small. But the second one they did.
They wouldn't say the name. What was it? It was a top secret. They wouldn't say, yeah, we can't tell you where it's coming.
No, it's a secret.
It's,
nobody knew where Sebastian was. So they said, in between Melbourne and Vero Beach. We're here, la la la, you know. And so we're saying, well, you could just say our name. And then the next time they did say our name, but we got 150 mile per hour gusts of sustained wind.
Sustained at 150?
But no, it was gusts. We had a neighbor who had his wind meter break at 150 miles an hour, and so we were actually in that one. We stayed in our house in that one. On Francis, we left and went inland to Orlando. But Jean appeared to be smaller to begin with, and so we stayed. And for 8 hours during the night, we had scariness. It was, I've never been through it.
Yeah, I know. Scary.
When you're in a block construction.
There's nothing you can do. All you can do is pray, of course. Yeah, but you're looking out your window. And the
people
that don't know what sustained winds are, sustained means that they stay at that wind speed without stopping. Sustained.
It was a high category four hurricane that came through. Jean was that. So, but no, we couldn't look out the windows. We had no clue. We had boards on our windows.
Oh, you had boards. Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
I was looking out the window when we had the sustained winds, and I was amazed because it just it lasted over 24 hours, the wind. And
yes, it does.
I was like, oh boy, now I know what they're talking about when they say sustained.
Right.
And we didn't get that much damage over here. We did get some of our power lines, of course, came down and some trees and things, but fortunately.
We had the military come for Francis. We are out of power for 10 days.
Oh, yeah, they come. Yeah, the thing that was striking to me about seeing the military was how fast they arrived on the scene and how easy it is for martial law to take effect. Because here you don't have any electricity. And that's odd, you know, since we're used to having it. And then if they're riding up and down your streets in jeeps and their uniforms with guns, yeah, that was very, very striking.
Well, yeah, they didn't go that far, but we did go visit them. So we had to go get in the line, you know, for the water and the ice and the MREs. And
yeah.
The first time we had a bunch of food because we had just filled our freezer and then the hurricane came. We ate real well on a grill, so
good. Yeah, you had a grill. Good.
No, we had a charcoal grill. We didn't have a gas grill. We had a charcoal grill. That was really difficult, especially to cook vegetables. So we just threw it in the charcoal with tinfoil to cook our vegetables. It tasted really good, though. And so,
they tell you to be prepared, and we never really prepared, but after that, I got prepared. I got battery-powered fans, and I bought a little stove that runs on butane, and I have my preparations, and I hope I never have to use them. Oh, I hope not. There's been a lot of activity.
Somebody gave us a generator for the next one, and for the first 10 days of the first one, I blew a straw into our fish tank to keep our fish alive.
Oh,
but then the next time, and they lived for 10 days, they lived. Then the next time we had a generator, and I was so happy I plugged in the fish tank, and the power turned on the heater and cooked all my fish. It was not fun. Yes, they did. So that was. But now we don't live in hurricane season, hurricane place. We live in Tornado Alley.
Tornado land.
So the day that we drove up here, we moved up here from Florida. There was 90 tornadoes that went through the Midwest here, and I'm in the Springfield corner, the southwest corner,
I think I don't want to live in Tornado land. Well, we're here. We are in the world, but we are not of this world, and we surely know that this world is not our home.
We're affected by the world, and
we are,
And so we have to bear with whatever storms we are around. So, and we live about an hour and a half from Joplin, so we did get that cell over us that day.
Oh.
It was very eerie, but we have no basement here, so, you know, we just go with the flow. We just pray.
We have to go with the flow for sure.
Well, in Florida, of course,
we don't have basements, but I'm glad we don't have a basement, so you don't have to clean up.
But we have block construction homes in Florida, and here I call it a toothpick house because it's just wood.
Yes,
we don't have those.
Of course, when we built our house, they were already starting to strap down the roofs. So our roof is strapped down, but it's kind of funny because if you get a good wind, so what? The roof is strapped down; it's going to blow off anyway. But we do have a little bit of security. But anyway, our topic today, and this is going to be so interesting because I don't know if most of the listeners are probably not familiar with Gnosticism, and also you've been doing this research about the book The Shack and how this kind of ties in, and I'm surprised because I see so many Christians recommending this book, The Shack.
Have you read it?
No, I never read it. No, I didn't read it because I had heard so many bad things about it. And
Because I heard all the bad things about it.
Yeah. Exactly. So you did the research.
I read it because actually it was an interesting story how I read it, but I had two conflicting stories. I had my church in my life group saying, well, you got to read The Shack. You really got to read The Shack. And then I had somebody at work who was not a Christian come to me and say, because I'm a Christian, and said, have you read The Shack? And I said, no, I have it, but I haven't read it. I had it for a whole year before I read it. Because I bought it for a totally different reason. And I didn't want to read it because of the storyline. I work with a lot of terrible situations of domestic violence and stuff, so I really didn't want to read a story about sexual abuse and a murderer and all that stuff and have the whole book focus on that, even though I picked it up because it was a unique story that was suggested to me at a Christian bookstore. I picked it up, and I set it to the side for a year, because I just didn't want to go into the, you know, it was unique enough, but yet I didn't want to. I was trying to learn how to, you know, I was encouraged to do that, to write and to get some creative writing skills. So, and that was the suggestion I was given to go and make stories. So I did, and that was what, you know, I went to the Christian bookstore and said, do you have a unique fiction story that is just out of the box and that you can give me? And then they told me that, and then they told me the storyline, and I bought it, and then I set it down for 9 months. But then I picked it back up because of the fact that a non-Christian at work and my church, the non-Christian said, oh, you're a Christian? And you haven't read The Shack? You need to read The Shack, because that is exactly how I've seen God.
Oh.
So I was having the church tell us to read it, or in the life group, not the church from the pulpit, but in the life group. And then saying, we need to rethink a lot of this stuff. And then at work saying, you need to read it. And I go, wow, either this guy was really a great missionary and able to capture both people at the same time, or there's something ominous that I need to see in this book. And so... at church, they said, no, said, you need to get to the end of it. Don't make any judgments before you get to the end of it. You got to get to the end. So as I was reading it, you know, I was taught in college, Bible college, that you know the truth so well that error just jumps out at you.
Yeah.
And so I have spent my time to learn the truth. I know people think I'm odd because I do study pagan literature.
Well, who's the odd one? Who's the odd one? The one that likes The Shack, or the one that actually investigated what The Shack was really about? But that's how it is today, isn't it? That the one that's doing the research to try to show you that you could be deceived, and it could be very costly to be deceived, yes, then you're the odd one. Doesn't make any sense.
I just say that about myself, because I know the truth, you know, and then so when I see error, it just kind of pops out.
Yeah.
And I call myself weird, because when I see error now, I just go jump into it and say, wow.
Oh, that's
just...
right. Peculiar.
And so I did that. And I read it, and the error was popping out at the first few pages. And I thought, oh, it's going to work itself out. It's going to, you know, there's got to be some point to this. And it got worse and worse, and then at the end it was even worse than it was at the beginning. So,
wow.
You know, I was really curious, and so I wanted to study this person, because he was a son of a missionary, and really a big person on missions, and I studied a lot of missionaries.
The author. So who was the author of The Shack?
Well, he goes by Paul Young. He goes by his middle name. People don't realize that, but William P. Young goes by his middle name. His father is William something Young. So, and he was a missionary to Papua New Guinea, him and his wife, and he was a child there. And
oh, okay.
Does
he claim to be born again, or does he not use that term?
That's up for discussion.
Yeah.
He does not claim to be the Christians that we know it. Because when people ask him, are you a Christian, he says, how do you define that? So if you define it such and such, and this way, then no, I'm not. But if you define it this way and this way, Yes, I am. So it's like depending on how you define it. So, and that is pretty, that is very much with what, you know, is how a lot of Christians today in the church are making a stand of, you know, it's okay. I like the word Christian. I'm touting that word now because people are having issues with it. So when people have issues with it.
Didn't the Bible say that we were first called Christians at Antioch, wasn't it? So why do people have a problem with it? Because that's what the Bible says.
Because Christians need to apologize for everything now. So
yeah, I know. What the Bible says. No,
They say let's understand the Bible correctly is what they say. This is really bad because these deceptions today are saying, well, we want to read the Bible. It's just that we want to understand it correctly. We want to be the Berean. I have so many people who are in false teachings telling me, you got to be a Berean. Why in the world are you stealing my language? Why are you telling me to be a Berean and you're telling me false teaching?
Yeah.
Why? And I think
that's how the deception is so prevalent today that most people don't know the truth. If Jesus Christ himself came down to earth and sat down next to them and said hello, they would not know who he was. If the Holy Ghost himself appeared to these people and said, hi, how you doing? They wouldn't know him, and they would not know Jesus Christ. And it's very, very obvious that people are lacking in their Bible knowledge, and they're not spending time in the Word of God. And they don't know Jesus. They don't know the Word. They're just... I was amazed last night because I was looking at what they call Christian television. I don't call it Christian television because it's just like this new building that TBN built in Orlando. It looks like a coliseum, a multi-million-dollar building for them just to have a party in. So they were having this party over there, and the building was full, maybe 3,000 people or more in there, with a false teacher, Mark Sharona, who was wearing a fleur-de-lis on his jacket, which is an occult symbol. And these people were all going crazy, and I'm thinking, just another circus, and people just buy it, and they don't care that multiple millions of dollars are spent on these useless buildings, just another building for these people to come and have a party in. And they don't care about the truth. They don't care. Just give us a good time, give us prosperity, and that's all we care about. So we're in a sad state. And it's a sad state of affairs when a church would promote a book like The Shack. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, it was very much promoted. And I'm actually going to do one of my shows and detail it because there's not a whole lot of time to detail it. But I spent, after, you know, I read the book, I spent about 60 hours studying William P. Young. Or I went to his, you know, where he was on the radio. You know, a lot of people were getting a lot of, you know, trying to ask him to go speak and things like that. So I get to hear from him. And there was this whole debate of whether or not it was fiction or theology was true, or, you know, if it, and so when you question the theology, then they say, well, it's a fiction book. And so I wanted to study whether or not what William P. Young thought about his own book. So his own book, he actually, the theology in the book is his belief, is not fiction. What he did is he actually wanted to write for his children his list of theology, and he put it point by point by point by point, and he thought, well, I can't hand this to them. This is boring. And then somebody gave him the idea
to
create a story around it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Because that's what people say. It's no longer, it's boring now to go to church and to listen to the Bible, reading the Bible, and then the
pastor.
Well,
Gnosticism has changed that, for sure.
Yeah, Gnosticism, forget that. Now we have to have dancers and flags and ballet and a circus and a coffee bar. And
well, not
donuts.
All that is bad, but yes, well, you know, you have her own little thing there.
Like,
I was actually in dance.
Whatever happened to preaching the word? You know, isn't that enough? Anyway, there's a caller. Let's see what the caller has to say. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you have a question or a comment?
You were cutting out. I was trying to listen. My name is Reverend Paul. I'm a Gnostic preacher, and I'd like to understand. I haven't read this book, nor do I really care to, but I'd like to understand what it is that's false teaching about the book and what it is you're saying is false teaching about Gnosticism.
Okay. Would you like to answer that,
about Gnosticism? What would be interesting, though, is to see what you believe about Gnosticism. What is it that's different between Gnosticism and Christianity as we know it? Are you a Christian Gnostic, or are you a different kind of Gnostic? Because there's different types of Gnostics. So you're a pastor of a Christian Gnostic church?
Well, I'm a reverend, and I'm a Gnostic Christian, yes. And Gnostic Christianity goes back to the time of the Orthodoxy and was dispelled and constantly harassed by the Orthodoxy from the early beginnings, because their teachings were about Jesus Christ and about the kingdom of God being within you, where the Orthodoxy wanted the kingdom of God to be in a church. And they wanted women to be a part of their clergy, and the Orthodoxy, which later split off into the Catholics and the Greek Orthodox, still to this day do not allow women to preach. So these people, and Jesus sat with women and ate with women and took their counsel during a time when women were not considered to be worth a penny as far as their thinking was concerned. The Gnostics believed in that process. So what I'm trying to find out, what I'd like to know, is what you're saying is false teaching here, because what the Gnostics teach, and the Gnostic teaching came from Paul himself. He was the first one who started the Gnostics in the beginning, and then there were several Gnostic teachers beyond him. And the Gnostics were willing, in the beginning, to even go into the church where the Orthodoxy wanted to teach and teach within the church. And the Orthodoxy ran around weeding them out, saying, if you hear them talking about putting women in higher places, if you hear them talking about the kingdom of God being within you, which is in the Bible itself, but people seem to pass over it, take these people and pluck them out and do not let them be ministers in your church. And the Gnostics were run out on a rail. And by the 5th century, after the Council of Nicaea and Constantine took over Rome, and the Council of Nicaea became the bearers of the religious organization, because the Christians became the organization of Constantine, because he said he saw a revelation of Christ. And they had their part.
Not real Christians, because Constantine wasn't a Christian. He was.
Well, Constantine claimed himself to be a Christian.
But it's interesting that you say that the issue was about women, when that was only a really tiny part of the issue with the apologists, or the heresiologists, which you guys call them. That was only a small portion of the problem. The problem is your identification and understanding of who Jehovah is and who Jesus actually was. So that was not, women was a minor problem in that time, which now you're saying is the major problem. That is not the major problem. The huge problem is your idea of Jehovah, which you might want to explain who Jehovah is in Gnosticism. Who is Jehovah?
Well, I first of all, I do not use the name, because you're not supposed to use the name. Second of all, God is the creation of every living thing on this earth and is involved in every living thing on this earth, including you and I and the trees and the grass and the birds and everything. He is a part of it. God is us. He is a part of us.
That idea is pantheistic, and that is one of the problems the early church had with that, is that God is not part of his creation. God is a separate and above his creation.
Yeah, he's above his creation.
But you have to say, still, you don't say Jehovah because you're not supposed to, but Gnosticism is very clear on who they say Jehovah is, and they have no problem saying Jehovah, because Jehovah has actually been given another name, and
to comes from the Hebrews and is actually the true name of God. The name you're speaking of with the J is actually a Y in Hebrew. Yes, and you shouldn't say that either. That's the true name of God. And I did not say that God was not separate from man. I said that God is a part of man as well as being separate. There are paradoxes that do exist. How did God create? God creates from himself. There was only one thing. In the beginning, there was God. That's all there was. So where did his creation come from? From his energy, from his matter, from his spirit, from his being. Therefore, every blade of grass, every tree, every bird in the sky, and Christ said it himself.
You're still not explaining to us who Jehovah, who's the creator God, because he is not the ultimate God in Gnosticism. Gnosticism says there's a God that is above the creator God. And so you're not even explaining that.
Gnosticism does not say that.
Is it a dualistic God between? Is it a dualistic God between a mother God and a father God that is combined together?
I don't know where you're getting your information from, but the only thing that I can surmise from what you're saying as far as being legitimate to Gnostic Christianity is the dissemination of God as being endlessness in the beginning and the descending to create matter. And it's the same God. Okay, it's the
right.
same
and when
God.
You say, just so that the audience will understand what you're saying, is that you are saying that God is not a being of personality. It's a person. Well, actually, it is, but it is of a more of a entity, a force. It's not something we can define. It is not something we can have a relationship with, and so.
Well, who is Jesus Christ to you then?
Jesus Christ was the Mashiach.
Yeah, but does that mean to you?
You believe in a Kabbalistic Gnosticism. Is that correct?
The Kabbalists and the Gnostics were very, very close together in their belief systems.
Yeah,
but the bottom, what I'm trying to say here is that God descended through his veiling system, through the system that they believe, that they take symbolically in order to create man, and has become a part of it. That God is not undefinable. God is very definable. God is matter. God is energy. God is everything that we can define ourselves to be, because he's a part of that. Now, if you're asking me, is God a man in the sky who loves you?
God is
no.
a person. God what? Is a person.
God is not a person.
Yes, he is a person.
We're created
in the image of God, so he has to be a person.
No, God is a being. We are created
in the
likeness of God.
The Bible says
God.
That there's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You're using English language. There are.
I'm not using English language. We're going to know him. He's a father. Because he's a father,
I'm not saying you're not
going
to know him. I am not saying that you are not going to know him.
We're going to see him. And Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth as a man. He was a person.
Well,
we
Jesus
saw
Christ
him.
Was a person.
We could touch
yes,
him.
Yes, Jesus, Jesus Christ was a person.
But, and so but is the, God the Father.
God the Father is not a person.
Yes,
God the Father is a
right.
being. He is a being.
And,
I'm not saying
and
an
is,
energy
is,
and a matter and an existence, yes.
Well, he's
and,
not
and
energy
saying,
and matter. He's,
he's not
a,
energy
so
and matter.
He is
you,
real. He is, a, he is someone that you will recognize when you go to heaven. You will see him. As a
so what the early church had issues with was not the women issues as much as your definition
yes, they did have
of
that
God.
Too.
Because your definition of God is not energy. Your definition of a being of personality is what the issues were. Also, the issues were in how you define Jesus. Was Jesus a greater person than God himself?
No.
Okay, so... So when was Jesus filled with the Spirit? When was he God? Was he God at birth?
Jesus was never
birth?
God.
Oh, there you
okay.
go. Then you can't believe. The Bible says that no man comes to the Father except through the Son. So if you don't accept who Jesus Christ is,
I didn't
then you
say
can't
I
have
didn't
a re-
go, whoa.
Wait a minute. You can't have
I
a relationship with God the Father if
accept.
You don't accept the Son. Because no
I
man
accept,
comes to the Father except through the Son.
I accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Mashiach, the Salvation, the Anointed One.
But you said he wasn't
one.
God.
He isn't God.
Well, he is
the,
God.
The idea, let me tell you something.
Well,
you
obviously,
see,
obviously,
you want to say,
God.
You want to say.
You believe he walked the earth, right?
Yes.
Okay. You know
I
what
believe
he
committed
did when
miracles.
He was on the earth? You know what he did when he was on the earth?
Yes,
nobody,
I know
nobody
was,
ever duplicated what he did when he walked the earth.
I never
he also
said
died.
That they did.
Do you know anyone else that was resurrected from the dead and ascended
no.
into heaven?
No.
No, okay.
I
don't. All right. Well,
see,
do you know anyone else
that
would die for your sins? Do you know anyone else that would die for your sins?
I would venture to guess you don't even know what that means, but I will go beyond
I
that.
I do know what it means because I'm,
what does it
I've
mean?
Been born again, and I know what it means to be saved. Yes, I know.
Okay.
Because it was a real experience for me. It is a real experience to have Jesus Christ, to accept him for who he is, and to have a life change over instantly. That's a real experience, so you can't take that away from me because it's
well,
true.
I hope you do, okay? The statement that you have made, that Jesus was God, was a parliamentary decision which came from the Council of Nicaea.
No.
One part of the council decided
you say you
that
believe
Jesus
he walked
the,
on the earth, right?
I said he believed.
You knew
I
that
he walked
he was
on the
here,
earth.
Okay?
Yes.
You know what he did when he was here? You know
yes,
the
I know what
he
did
he
when
did.
He was here. What does that
you
have
know
to
that
do
he
with
died?
Him being God?
You know he died, right?
Yes.
Okay, you know he rose from the dead?
Yes.
Okay, who else did that?
What does that your argument
well,
is flawed.
Well, because only God can do that. Who else?
No.
Who else did that? No?
Wait a minute. God can do anything God wants to do.
Nobody can do that.
No, wait.
Nobody can do that.
Okay. Did Elijah rise into the clouds? Did Enoch rise into the clouds?
Were
they gone?
They did not die for my sins. They did not die. For, you know,
well,
he died on a cross,
yeah.
right?
It doesn't make any difference. You're talking about a miraculous act, and you're saying only God can do that. You're
well,
right. Only God
on
can do that. God is the source
died on
of all
a cross
power.
And
what?
Was buried and rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven.
What does that have to do with him being God? Jesus Christ himself
well,
never said
that?
He was God. Go well, read your Bible and
said
see
he was
what,
God.
Okay. No, he didn't. He has never said he was God.
He
this is
so
something that came from the
God.
Council of Nicaea, and they had a parliamentary vote where
right.
half of the group decided that he
God
was the Son of God,
20,
and the other
verse
group
19
was,
and 20.
Say again?
That, if you want the scripture... Go to your
yeah.
Bible. Jesus said he was God in John verse 20, 19. I mean, John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. He said he was God there. So you can see it in the Bible.
He said he was God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course
he said in John, he said he was God.
Of course he said he was God.
Well,
they knew he
please,
was God when they crucified him.
No, that's not why they crucified him.
Discussion on
they
the
said, truly, this was the Son of God. They knew it then.
Son of God. Mashiach, salvation of God, not God.
Well, salvation,
there is only one God. For you to say, you know what the Jews would say to you?
From the Messiah.
Do you know what the Jews would say to you if you said that? And I've had the argument with them before. They come
yeah,
to me and they say, they come
the
to me and they say no because they are right. They
Wait
come to
minute.
Me and they
who
say,
wrote the, who wrote the New Testament? The Jews.
They come to me and they say, rightfully so, because it goes back to Abraham, that there is only one God. And for you to say that the Jesus was God, that is polytheism. Okay? And I am telling you the same thing. I'm not saying that Jesus was not the Son of God. I never said that Jesus was not the Son of God. Jesus was the Mashiach. He was the salvation. He
well,
was the anointed.
Well, if you believe he was the Mashiach and he was the Messiah, only the Messiah has to be God.
No.
Who else is going to save you? Do you think no human being can save you. You can't save yourself.
That Jesus was not anointed. I know only God can help you. God helped more before Jesus came, if you remember, but we'll go beyond that, too. Okay?
Yeah, but Jesus always was.
Not in manifestation.
Well, he always was and he always will be.
But the point
he
is,
had to
the
come
people
to earth
before him
to,
that were saved by the grace of
sin.
God were not saved by Jesus Christ. Okay?
Yes, we are
now,
saved by Jesus Christ. I know it. You can't tell me. I have experienced his salvation. And so
I'm not saying that you are not. I am saying that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the people that existed before him did not see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not walk the earth. He had not completed his mission of salvation yet. Therefore, their salvation came from God. With all salvation comes from God.
It was always from the time that Adam and Eve sinned, there was a plan of salvation. And Jesus Christ came at the time that was appointed of the Father. So,
I didn't say that that's not true.
Let's take another call. Just hold on, okay? Let's see what this other person has to say. And let me see who this is. I'll put you on hold here. I'm trying to get
I'm
this
sitting
other...
here. I'm just listening because this is very, very important.
Important, and I'm really glad you called. You know, I'm very glad you called. Let me see if I can get this other caller on. I'm trying to get this caller. I don't know if it's going to let me take...
I was curious to know if he sounds like he is more Kabbalistic than he is Gnostic. And I have had several debates with people like him on Facebook and on sites like this where they think that God is a manifestation,
yeah.
that Jesus
right,
one
but
of the manifestations.
That again points to the book, The Shack, because that's what they're saying basically is the universalist
right.
belief that God is a manifestation. So,
right,
yeah.
And that God is
I'm trying
one,
to get this other caller on. For some reason, it's not. I'm not
working
able.
On that because I wanted
I'm
to
still working on it. Let me just put you on hold here for a minute, and I'm not going to hang up on you. But I'm trying to get this other. Just let me put you on hold here for a minute. Don't go away.
Okay. Oh, is that the other caller? But see, what he was saying is
I
that
can't
he's
get this call
being
on.
A simple.
Whoever is calling in, for some reason I can't get you on. Would you hang up and call back and let me see if I can put you into this discussion? For some reason it's not letting me put you on, the new caller. Is
but
the new caller on? No.
Hello?
Okay, you're still there. All right, let me see. They're called in again. Let me see if I can get them on here.
I would like the lady to describe manifestation so that
okay,
I understand
what
she's saying.
Okay, and we will. Let me just see who this other
your
caller
name is Ben,
is.
Right?
Hello? Caller?
Hello?
Yes?
Hello?
Yeah,
do you want to join the discussion, or do you have a question or comment?
I've got a question about what the gentleman had just called about. So if Jesus was the Son of God, when Jesus was on the cross and he was asking the Father, why have you forsaken me? Like, how would he be speaking to himself?
Good
Bingo.
Question.
Bingo.
Okay.
Thank you.
See,
good
are
morning.
You,
Your name is Ben, right? Jesus is talking about his father constantly.
Yes, his father who has sent him. Yes, sir, thank you.
Yeah, and when he's baptized by John the Baptist, when God said, "This is my son who I am pleased."
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
How would he be talking about himself? And I'm confused about that, Susan. That's why I asked the question. And wouldn't that make him a liar if he was communicating with himself? And he
that's
prayed
right.
about the,
that,
he
that's
prayed
right.
to the Father about the cup being taken from him when yes. he was perspiring blood, and he was praying to the Father, not
right.
to himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's good because, say, for instance, you know, someone like T.D. Jakes, who also believes in this three manifestations and not three persons. But then again, yeah, how could God talk to himself? Like, who was Jesus talking to? He had to be talking to the Father. And that's the three persons in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
What they're saying, what they're saying is these two men are actually saying the same thing. They're trying to tell to make you admit that Jesus was just a man and that
I don't think Jesus is a man. He's the Son of God.
Amen.
Blessed by the Father
for
the redemption of sin. In the story when they take the Son in Genesis, you know, isn't that the story of Jesus, the Father giving his Son like as Abraham did? Is that not
the story of Jesus because they're not talking about Jesus.
I understand. I understand that, but it's pre-shadowing. It's pre-shadowing Jesus.
Well,
in the New
there
Testament,
is a lot
right?
of talk about the shadowing and this kind of thing, but we go to the if you're going to talk about Jesus Christ, you have to talk about him for the most part from the time he was born. You start with the Gospels when he was born, his ministry on the earth. And who he was and why he came. Why do you think Jesus Christ came?
To be the sacrificial lamb for our sins.
Okay, so what does that mean to you?
That he was sent by the Father, God.
Well, then who can take your sins away? A human being?
The Son of God.
God. See, you're talking in circles.
You're talking in circles, man.
No, you have to understand something, that unless you've been born again, and I know because I've been there, I've been into Eastern religion and the New Age movement and all that kind of thing. When I accepted Jesus Christ, when I asked Jesus Christ the question, are you really God? Are you really who you say you are? If you are who you say you are, come into my life, change my life, I'm giving my life to you. I didn't know if he was really God at the time or who he really was, but he came into my life and he revealed himself to me, and I found out he was really God. I found out he had the power to save, to heal, to deliver, to give me joy and peace and all the things that I couldn't have without him. My quest was over then. I no longer had to try to find out who God was and read this book and go to this Hindu philosophy and this kind of thing. No, I knew who God was, and I know who he is. And you can't tell me that Jesus Christ
I'm not trying to tell you any different. Jesus has saved my life. But in John 3:16, when it says,
he can't save your life if you don't believe he's God. He cannot be your Savior if you don't believe who he is. You have to believe who he is.
If he came as the Savior, then how can he not be the Savior? If God gave him the ability, God anointed many people to come.
Who can save you?
Many came before.
Well, name one human being that can save you.
Well, there were prophets out there who tried to save but fell short. Jesus tells you the story. Jesus tells you.
And what
Jesus
about heaven?
Tells you the story of the man who comes and sends his men to a place. Sends different people that are in his employ to a place where they get killed, and then finally he sends his son. Now, Jesus reigns over the earth because he was able to take control over the earth. You see, what has happened here is when Jesus Christ
came... Well, who can take control over the earth besides God? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness
thereof. It has been given to him.
No man
sits on the right hand of the Father. He sits on the right hand of the Father.
Yeah, he is, because he's God. Who else
no, he is
sits
not.
At the right
he
hand
is
of
not.
The Father?
It does not say he is God. It says he sits on the right hand of the Father.
He said
I mean,
he was
again,
God. Do you have a Bible there?
Of course I have a Bible.
Well, then open your Bible to John chapter 20 and see what it says.
The man
Let
just,
me get
the man just got through telling
on.
You, I don't need to open my Bible. I've read the Bible, ma'am, more times than you can
well,
think.
Well, if you read it, then you missed this scripture, obviously.
I didn't miss the scripture.
Well,
I know
then,
exactly
well,
who
go
Jesus
and
Christ
read
is.
It. Go and
well,
read
would you explain,
it and tell
how
me what
would you
it says.
What this gentleman
go get
saying.
It and, bring, and tell me what it says then. John 20, 19 and 20. Tell me what it says if you read it. Because I'd like to hear it. Let me see if I can get this other caller on.
Unbelievable.
Could you, Vincent, if you're on the line there, I'm trying to put you on for some reason. I can't get you on. If you
Susan,
would
I'll
hang
up, but thank
back.
You for your time, okay?
Okay, then. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right.
Now, it doesn't really sound like you're too much Gnostic, that you sound more Kabbalistic than you are Gnostic. How are you Gnostic? You
Hello?
Said you're a Gnostic, you're Gnostic reverend.
Hello?
Is
Am I on?
Vincent?
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, this is Vincent.
Okay.
I wanted to tell him, and y'all stole a little bit of my thunder, you know, what are we going to do when Thomas put his hands into the wounds of Jesus and he said, my Lord and my God? Are we going to say that Thomas was lying? And, you know, if Jesus is not God, Jesus would have told him, said, no, I am not God. But Jesus is God. And people can say this thing about Jesus praying to himself if he's God and everything. But, see, we're dealing with the humanity of God. See, Jesus was God's humanity. But does that mean he's not God? No, he is God, because if he wasn't God, we can't be saved. You know, I don't know why people don't understand that.
Because what you're saying is incorrect, sir.
How is it incorrect? How is it incorrect?
I will explain it
to you. I mean, how is it incorrect? The only person that can save us is God.
And the only person that could save us from the beginning was God.
We cannot have salvation through him because he is our Lord and Savior.
Let me
explain, sir. You know, it was through the blood of Jesus. It was through the blood of Jesus
Indeed.
That we were saved. And if he was just a man or was not God, then that blood was insufficient to save us. That's
right.
The only reason why it could save us, because he was, and he still is God. I don't care if you say if he's separate or anything like that. You know, in 1 John, the 5th chapter, in the 7th verse, it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, And the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and these three are one, which means that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all God. They're not three separate gods, but they're all three different personalities in one God.
Amen. That's right.
They are
so
all
did you
one.
Get John
we
chapter
are all
20?
One, sir.
Did you ever get John chapter 20?
I'm getting to it, ma'am. I'm in the midst of...
You know, that's the thing. See, you cannot understand the Bible unless you're born again, because you have to have your spiritual eyes opened. The eyes of understanding have to be opened so that you can understand it.
Let me tell you a
because
story.
Because you're telling
me you
read the Bible, but you didn't really read it, because if you really read it, you would know what it said. We read it.
The Jehovah's Witnesses say the same thing. The Mormons say the same thing. All these different religions say that Jesus is not God. And that is the reason why they are in error, because they say that Jesus is not God. But Jesus is God. I don't understand why I can be in Antarctica and stand on a piece of ice while there's liquid water flowing under it and look up in the sky and there's vapor water in the air. You know, I mean, but it's still water. And it's the same thing with God.
Well,
Jesus was a manifestation of God on
no,
this
no,
earth.
No,
not a manifestation.
Not a manifestation.
He not
is
a manifestation.
The salvation.
He was a real
and
person.
Has been given
you said you
to
believed
him.
He was really here and he was a real person. No, he wasn't a manifestation. No.
You're misunderstanding the word manifestation.
Why did God make Jesus the advocate between man and the Father?
What? Where was thou when God created the heaven and the earth? What are you asking, Joe?
Why did he make Jesus the advocate if Jesus could not be God? See, that's the
because Jesus was
in
a. Why did God make Elijah an advocate if Elijah could not be God? I mean, come on.
Elijah was not God. He didn't die for
sin. I didn't say he was. No, but he saved people's lives.
He wasn't risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, okay?
No.
I don't know anybody else that has done that.
I didn't say that he had, but he did save people's lives, didn't he? Okay,
who?
And he was sent by God, wasn't he?
He didn't die for my sins on a cross.
He didn't die for anyone's
so,
sins.
You know. For me.
I'm sure that as you've read
very
your
nice
Bible,
man,
as you say... I'm
he
sure
didn't
as
change
you've read
my
your,
life and give me a better life.
He didn't
life.
Change your life? Well, that's too bad for you. I mean, I'm sure as you've read your Bible, if you've read your Bible, as you say, it must have made some sort
that,
of impression on you.
Yes, I've been reading it for 30 years. So help
well,
I hope
okay.
I read
so
it. I mean, I don't know anything
some sort
I
of impression
say,
on you.
But there's some
that
things I know.
That's character assassination when you say, if you have read your Bible. We have read our Bibles, okay?
No,
we're wondering if you read yours.
Yeah, because if you read it, you'd know that Jesus said he was God.
And what was the verse, John chapter 21? I'm
19
here.
And 20, right, Vincent?
No.
You put that in the chat
19,
room.
John chapter 20, 19 through 29.
Okay.
But I encourage you, go back and read it for yourself, because I had a lot of the same Hindu, Buddhist, you know, going around in circles things that you're talking about before I accepted Christ. And I started reading the Bible, and, you know, I was kind of laughing at it, like, I don't believe it, but I'm just going to read it anyway so I can debate with Christians, you know, to see if I can make fools out of them. Well, when I started reading the Bible... And that word started getting in my heart. That's the great thing about the Word of God is that you can start reading it, and it eventually it's going to get a hold of you, and you're going to find out it's really the truth. So I encourage you, you know, call back in. We're coming about to the end of the program, but call back in anytime, and I'm going to have Brenda on again because we didn't even really start getting into. the whole topic, but I think it was a great discussion, and I'm very glad you called in, and I encourage you to really read that Bible, and then come back and debate us again.
Okay.
You're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Vincent, I want to thank you, too, for calling in. I appreciate it. I've missed you.
I've been working so much. I got a new job and I've been working so much. So
I
some of my Saturdays are off. Yeah.
I figured you were, but yeah, we've been missing you here. And the other callers, I'm sorry that I didn't get to you. I should have probably booked this program longer because it's a great topic, and there was a lot of interest in this topic too. So,
well, you know, in Gnosticism, though, see, the one thing that the listeners can learn today is that when somebody will start an argument with you or a debate about a certain topic such as Gnosticism, they'll first take a very minor issue as far as women being, you know, minor, but yet it is actually one that is women are being spoken against or something like that. Those were not major issues for the church. The major issues had the idea of God, which we've seen in this discussion. His idea of God is not what is revealed in Scripture.
Right.
The Trinity is actually the easiest part of God's character or easiest thing to defend as far as being in the Scriptures. But it's maybe not the best, the easiest to explain, but it is there. God reveals himself in that way in three persons, not in manifestations.
Right.
So
right.
When you
because
are
you can't
in,
say in a manifestation when you're saying out of one side of your mouth that you know that Jesus Christ walked on the earth and you know that he appeared in a physical body. So you can't call him a manifestation when you know that he actually was a person that walked the earth. But it's part of the whole confusion.
Yeah, I've had debates with them, and they will take you around and around and around. And
yeah,
really
it's that
not,
whole Hindu Buddha, the whole thing, it's kind of like Buddhism. They keep going around in the circle. You never understand because there's no absolutes. It just keeps taking these people around in a circle, and it keeps them confused. But
I would be curious though to see, because he doesn't sound very Gnostic. He sounds far more Kabbalistic and more Hebraic roots. He sounds more on that end than he, because Kabbalistic is Hebraic roots, and Gnosticism is more emergent. This is where it's teaching in the church. Is through the emergent church is actually Gnostic, and that is what is in the shack. This is infiltrating the Protestant church. It's similar to ecumenicalism, but it's not, because ecumenicalism is strictly in the Catholic Church, but it is like a sister movement which does the same kind of thing, but it is far more dangerous, because its definitions, its redefining a lot of things.
Oh yeah, it's very dangerous. Let me see if we can take. Of course, we're not live anymore. We're still recording, and everything we say will be archived, but we're not live. Let me see if I can get this other caller. Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello.
Do you have a comment?
Yes, I do. Well, first of all, if anyone reads the Bible from the very first verse, which it says, "In the beginning, God," and goes to the original language, God is translated as Elohim, which is in plural.
Are you talking about the majestic plural? Are you talking about a majestic plural here?
Yeah, God is it's called Elohim, which in the Jewish language is a plural, God in the plural sense. At the same time, if you go further down on Genesis, it says, when God says, "Let us make man to our image and likeness," who is the us? Again,
exactly.
Talking about a plural. Now, when we go to John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was God, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So he was together with God, and yet he was God, right? And then Jesus Christ continues to claim, "I and the Father are one." One, which means they're not two. It's not one Jesus and one Father. It's I and the Father are one. Jesus Christ also claims, "Before Abraham was, I am." The only one who ever claimed "I am" is Jehovah, God,
right,
in the Old Testament.
Right.
Jesus again says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Therefore, if we see Jesus, we see the Father, which means we see God.
Yes.
And also, if we look at John 17 in verse 5, it says, "And now, O Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Therefore, Jesus Christ was with God even before the foundation of the world. And yet, the Jews are forbidden to believe in more than one God. And that's what gets these people crazy. They cannot understand the concept of the Trinity, which is spread all over the both the Old and the New Testament. And that
yeah.
is the
problem. Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
Very good. That was a very good analogy there. I'm sorry, we're not broadcasting live, so the others can't hear. They won't be able to hear unless they go
right.
back to the archives. But I want to have Brenda back. maybe,
yeah,
and if you can, come back next week.
I
don't know if you can come back next week, but if you can, I'd like to have another program on this because we had a lively discussion. And
you will have a lively discussion, especially when it comes to some stuff like this. But I wanted to correct myself in what I said to, I don't know who this man is speak, but he is supporting the Trinity. The majestic plural does not support the Trinity. So he is totally supporting. But if you had this man that you were debating, I guess his name is Ben, if you had him on there, he would have an explanation for everything you just said. And in a wrong way. So as apologetics is concerned and defending our faith, we unfortunately have to know how to describe what we're talking about in being able to refute these people, because I've debated these people again and again and I keep all of my debates because it's all in writing. It's on Facebook, but they again and again will come to you and say, well, yeah, this is how we interpret it as the manifestations of God, and the unity between God is two duality in heaven, where Jesus is on one throne and God is on another throne, and so they are in union. So, but what he said, this man that just spoke eloquently about the scriptures and what the scriptures actually say.
Yeah, what the scriptures actually say, right.
Right.
It's not only the Gnostics and the New Age people, but you have people that claim to be Christians, and they're even on what is supposedly Christian television, people like T.D. Jakes and others that say the same thing, that there's three manifestations, one God and three manifestations. So they're all in the same boat, and we do have quite a job ahead of us to try to get the truth out. But once you know the truth, and that's why we're doing this program today, is because once you know the truth makes you free, it sets you free, hallelujah. You don't have any more confusion about who Jesus is. You don't have to keep going around the circle and trying to get it right. And the only way to really know who Jesus Christ is you must be born again. And you're born once of your mother, and then you must be born of the Spirit of God. And unless you're born again, you will never understand the Bible. You will never understand who Jesus Christ is.
Absolutely.
Amen. So I want to thank you for calling in, brother. Please call in again. We'll be doing this program again. We'd love to hear your comments. God bless you, and thank you.
All right, thank you.
And, yes, thank you. Brenda, yes. And Brenda, yes. Would you close us out in prayer? And if you can come back next week, let me know. Because
yeah,
I can. You can?
I can come
Good.
Back.
Okay,
yes.
So let's continue this discussion because yes. I want to get more also into the shack, that whole I'll do some more homework on this whole issue, because I think it's very, very important to try to help as many people as we can. There's something about truth, there's just something about truth. It's like an arrow, and it goes right, it penetrates right inside the heart of someone. And I just pray that all the truth that has been spoken here today will enter into your heart and into your spirit, and that truth can make you free. That truth can make you free. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So, Brenda, please pray.
Yes, and right before I pray, I just want to inform all of the people, all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ and in the scriptures, that the arguments today, the debates today, the very things people are saying today are not elementary. They are coming to you with high, fancy dogma which they say is not dogma, by the way, and they will make you feel like you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So be prepared. Be prepared, because these are the arguments that are here today. They're very philosophical. They're very high, you know, high maintenance debates. And so these are not something that you can approach in the same way that you thought you could approach it, just by, you know, simple of, well, let me tell you what the Bible says. You got to tell what the Bible says, as well as point out to where they're in error. So it's something that the church really needs to be able to be prepared for, and I don't think we are prepared for these kinds of arguments.
No, you're
And so, and we, and they're coming furious and fast. I'm so surprised how many of these arguments and deceptions can come at you and make it almost sound like they're right, but they're wrong. They're completely, completely wrong. This man who was talking about this is not his own. He is not the only one who thinks that way, and he is completely in error in what he's saying. So, Lord, I want to come to you, and I want to pray for each and every listener. I want to pray for the believers that know you and understand you, that they will be able to defend what you say about yourself in the scriptures, that they will have a desire and a passion to know your word. Because if we don't even know it, we can't even debate it. We can't confront it. We cannot tell people where they're wrong. And I pray, oh God, that you, Lord, will give people a desire to know you through your word and through understanding who you are as you reveal yourself in scripture. And so I pray for that. And I pray, oh God, that anyone who is blinded, that even the best philosophical debate will not give them understanding of you, that only your Holy Spirit and who you are will, introducing them and opening their eyes, will give them the understanding that they need. And so I pray for each and every person that has been listening to this program that does not believe in you as revealed in the scripture, that you will give them understanding with their eyes and their ears and their heart, and that the Lord Jesus will knock them off their horse as Paul was. And
Amen.
So I pray for this in Jesus' name, that we come to you, that we can discern from truth and error and be able to stand strong in you and lead many to the well of truth that is found only in Jesus, being the way, the truth, and the life, in no other way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. I want to thank you. Thank you so much, Brenda. Really great discussion, and we'll continue it next week.
Yes.
And I'll be better prepared myself and get some of those scriptures out, especially the scriptures
one thing that we need. Yeah, one thing we need to do is make them stay on topic and stay on.
Yeah, exactly. Answer the question.
Well, when you get into debates about Trinity, it gets totally off of what you're really discussing, because we didn't even really get any idea of what he thought about Gnosticism. We were getting an idea of what he thought about God, but we need to keep them there, and we need to keep them on these certain questions, and I know which questions to ask.
And get an answer, and get an answer.
People need to know that what they really think about Jesus and what they really think about God, and understanding where they're coming from, because he was Kabbalistic and not Gnosticism. I don't know why he's a Gnostic reverend, because what he was saying was not Gnostic, unless the people that have been debating are Gnostic and Kabbalistic all at the same time. So,
well, it sounds like it. It sounds like it, because it's all intertwined, see?
It is intertwined, but there's a strength on one side and the other. So,
what is it, brother?
Don't hesitate to use the mute button when he tries to speak over you.
Amen. Do that. Speak to me so we can, like they do on, like, on the news programs. Like, if you don't let me answer, then mute him.
Well, I know, but I want to. I think it's right, though, is to hold them down to getting the answer, because it's true. If you don't get them to answer the question, then you go off into another topic. And you just keep going around in circles. So it's something that I'm learning too, is to try to get people to answer the questions. You know, attorneys are very good at that. So
But anyway, we'll do it again next week. I want to thank everybody. Thank you again, brother, for calling in with your wonderful comments and your scriptures.
Thank
that
you,
was
brother.
A blessing. Yeah, call in. Try to be with us again next week. And Brenda, thank you so much. I appreciate you very, very much, Brenda, your ministry and the time that you take to study and prepare yourself. You're a tremendous blessing to the body of Christ. So next
Bye,
week again. Okay, goodbye,
way,
everybody.
The name is Greg. My name is Greg.
Okay, Greg. All right, God bless.
I'll see
all
you
right.
next Saturday.
Yeah, next week. Okay, then. And for all the listeners, tune in again next week. We're going to be doing the program again on Gnosticism. And what exactly is it? Who is Jesus Christ? We will prove it next week again with the scriptures. And be blessed, everyone. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. He is real. He is God. He is the Savior. He is our precious Lord. No one will ever love you like Jesus Christ. So get down on your knees and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your life and to be your Lord and Savior. And he will. He will change your life. I guarantee it. God bless you.
Amen.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city. Set on a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.